You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, July 27th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We've got plenty of great stuff to talk to you about today concerning the wide world of marijuana legalization. From coast to coast and across the oceans, we cover it all here on the Russ Belville Show. On today's show, we've got two great guests. As usual, at half past, we'll have a visit from our good friend, Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be here for our cannabis Q&A segment. He's the chairman of the Normal Board of Directors, as well as an instructor in the State University of New York at Albany, and the author of numerous great books about marijuana, including Understanding Marijuana and A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Today, we're going to talk about that big story that everyone's talking about, the CDC noting the edible-related death of Levi Tamba last year. We'll talk about that. Also, in Behind the Headlines, I'm going to tell you about that CDC warning and give you a little perspective on it. Also, Dr. Mitch will be talking about how marijuana can help treat opioid addiction. We'll look at a new study about teenagers in medical marijuana states. The story we reported on last week about marijuana being able to help heal broken bones, at least cannabidiol, and a study on marijuana psychosis, breaking it down men versus women. All that plus your calls at our toll-free radio line, 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. And then after Dr. Mitch, we've got a guest in our Cannabis Chronicle segment, Alex Rogers from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference will be joining us to tell us all about the upcoming conference in September to be held here in Oregon. So we'll get the details where and when and learn more about what Alex has been up to as Oregon has embarked on its marijuana legalization. Also on the show, we've got some new polling data to bring you in the drug war data mines today, where majorities in New Hampshire are saying they prefer the taxation and regulation of marijuana like alcohol. We'll bring that to you in Drug War Data Mines. And like I mentioned, in Behind the Headlines, we'll talk about the CDC issuing their warning about marijuana edibles. But first, we'll start everything off with the 420 Radio News, the latest headlines in marijuana from coast to coast. And coming in on the headlines, we've got some information on medical marijuana in South Dakota, of all places, a dispensary opening up in Annapolis, Maryland, finally, and some news from across the pond in the United Kingdom about a weed legalization petition going on there. Also, reminder, we will be at the Cannabis Creative Conference on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll be out of town on Friday, so no live shows Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday this week, but we'll be back next week with more interviews and recordings from the Cannabis Creative Conference and its panels and many of its speakers, of which I am one. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we got the 420 Radio News for you. Stick around.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 27th, 2015. The first specialty clinic for medical marijuana opened in Annapolis, Maryland last month and has seen more than 100 prospective patients, even though the Maryland Medical Cannabis Program isn't expected to be operational for another year. Greenway Consultation, located in the Conte Lubrano office building, has three consultants and three physicians who are not yet registered to recommend marijuana through the Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission. The commission develops and oversees all licensing, registration, inspection, and testing. The clinic spokesman, Nick Petrucci, said opening in advance of the program has advantages, such as beginning to build the patient-doctor relationship to expedite a recommendation for marijuana when the program begins. The commission requires physicians to examine the patient, review and maintain medical records, assess his or her medical history, and provide follow-up care as needed. Cannabis program regulations are under public comment until July 27th, and the commission expects to adopt them in September. United Kingdom lawmakers may consider a bill that would legalize cannabis for recreational use after an online petition garnered the support of more than 150,000 people. The petition asks for lawmakers to allow the sale, production, and recreational use of marijuana. Petitions that exceed more than 100,000 signatures require a formal response from the government, and the House of Commons must consider putting the item to debate. Those which receive the required number of signatures are almost always debated, according to the site. The petition, which was introduced last week, has amassed more than 158,000 signatures. The creator of the petition, James Richard Owen, argues that the UK is wasting money by keeping marijuana criminalized, saying, quote, "Legalizing cannabis could bring £900 million in taxes every year, save £400 million on policing cannabis, and create over 10,000 new jobs," end quote. Medical marijuana in Pennsylvania features a bipartisan House task force working on a compromise for a medical marijuana bill. House Speaker Mike Terzai told the Pennsylvania Press Club on Monday that concerns still have to be addressed. Pending legislation would allow for a certain number of licensed medical cannabis growers and distributors, but Terzai voiced some lingering questions, saying, quote, "What are they going to do with all the other marijuana that's being grown there? And what or who is it going to impact? And who is going to police that? I'm sorry, but I care about every kid in high school because marijuana is an entry drug, and we're going to have a full vetting of this issue," end quote. Multiple forms of medical marijuana legislation are in the mix or coming soon, but the final passage of a bill may be unlikely before the fall. The only member of the so-called Kettle Falls 5 group of marijuana growers in Washington to plead guilty has received a 16-month sentence, but will remain out of custody pending an appeal. The Spokesman Review reports that U.S. District Court Judge Thomas O. Rice did not accept Jason Zuckerman's explanation that the plants he and others grew on property in northeastern Washington state were for medicinal purposes. The federal case was widely watched because medical and recreational marijuana is legal under state law in Washington. Zucker was sentenced Friday. At trial in March, Zucker testified for the federal government against Rhonda Firestack Harvey, Roland Gregg, and Michelle Gregg, saying he brought more than 70 plants from his home in Seattle to the Harvey property in 2011 and 2012. Firestack Harvey and the Greggs are scheduled to be sentenced later. The defendants had said they had medical marijuana cards and believed they were operating under the allowances of state law. The Marijuana Pot Pavilion has been canceled for the Denver County Fair, and here is why. There was not a lawsuit over the edibles mess or even a loss of love for weed. None of those items had anything to do with it. The real reason is depressingly simple, a mixture of economics and opportunity cost. Fair co-owner and director Dana Kane said, quote, "We found ourselves in a situation a month ago where the whole fair was almost sold out, except the Pot Pavilion. So last year we had 57 booths sold in the Pot Pavilion. This year we had 6 booths sold in the Pot Pavilion. So I was like, we just can't do it." End quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 27th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, have issued a dire warning about the potential dangers of consuming marijuana after a 19-year-old who consumed marijuana products died from a fall last April. According to the National Survey on Drug Abuse and National Survey for Drug Use and Health, misspelled that in the article. According to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health figures for 2013, over 1 in 8 Americans aged 12 and older, 12.6%, consumed a marijuana product that year. Over 1 in 8. Of those 33 million Americans, consumption was greatest in the 18 to 25-year-old age group. Almost a third of young adults, 32%, consumed marijuana in 2013, or about 11 million people aged 18 to 25. Levi Tamba was a 19-year-old student from Wyoming who visited Colorado last year with some friends. One friend over the age of 21 purchased marijuana-infused cookies legally from a marijuana store. The clerk instructed the friend that the cookie was 6 servings, or it's a cookie containing 60 milligrams of THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, and it was actually 65. The clerk also told him to consume only 1/6 of the cookie and to wait to feel the effects. Now, Tamba ate his 1/6 portion, but upon not feeling the effects up to an hour later, he ate the rest of the cookie. For the next 2 hours, he behaved erratically and bizarrely, leading to his leap off of the hotel balcony, falling to his death 4 floors below. Tamba's autopsy showed him to have 7.2 nanograms of active THC per milliliter of blood in his system. Colorado's presumptive stone driving limit is 5 nanograms of active THC. In comparison, former Denver Westward marijuana critic William Breathes was once tested at 13.5 nanograms after a full night's sleep, and KIRO-TV tested Washington medical marijuana patient Addie Norton came in at 56 nanograms before her driving was considered borderline by a drug recognition expert police trooper. And even the novice marijuana smoker KIRO tested was driving well at 21.7 nanograms. Now the CDC writes, quote, "This case illustrates a potential danger associated with recreational edible marijuana use," end quote, about the estimated 2014 rate of 0.00003% annual deaths per marijuana consumer, a rate that triples to 0.000009% annual deaths for 18 to 25-year-old marijuana consumers. They continue, quote, "Consuming a large dose of THC can result in higher THC concentration, greater intoxication, and an increased risk for adverse psychological effects," and conclude, also suggesting a need for improved public health messaging to reduce the risk for overconsumption of THC, end quote. Now, in comparison, according to the World Health Organization, quote, "Alcohol is involved in up to 30% of adult hospital admissions, particularly those to emergency rooms," end quote. The CDC reports that, quote, "Alcohol is a main factor in 1 of 7 deaths among Colorado adults between the ages of 20 and 64 years old," end quote. And yet, Google News search shows 85 articles for marijuana edibles danger based on this CDC reporting on the one death among the 33 million people who consumed marijuana in 2014, describing edibles as highly dangerous, marijuana overdose danger, and a hidden threat. Meanwhile, in the state of Wisconsin, deaths attributable to falls related to alcohol have surpassed drunken driving deaths for the last 5 years they have data. But try Googling alcohol accident danger and you'll find not much reference to the numerous cases of drunk young people falling to their deaths. Try Googling alcohol fall danger and you actually get the story of Levi Tamba within the first page of results. So yeah, media, let's make sure we really amp up the fear over the death of one student who overconsumed marijuana products and accidentally fell off a balcony, so we can drive home the message that you must consume marijuana edibles in small doses over lengthy periods of time. Maybe we could place that message in between a couple of the beer ads during televised college sporting events. Folks, this is the media once again going out of their way to hype the threat of marijuana when the threat of alcohol is so in our face day after day. Ben Burlock, age 20, in San Francisco, California, just last May, fell off a second-floor staircase balcony rail at the residence hall Saturday at 1:17 in the morning, sustaining blunt head trauma. This is in Tulane University in New Orleans. Kid drinks, falls off a balcony at 1 in the morning, breaks his head open, dies. UC Berkeley student dies after fall during at a concert. Two college students fall, freshman fall. Oh my God, there's so many.
Oh, gnarly.
I can't even get to all of them. But do we hear a hue and cry for more education about alcohol? More restrictions on alcohol? There is some, but apparently not enough. You can start being really concerned about the dangers of marijuana once we've taken care of the 88,000 people who die from alcohol every year. How about that?
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Wednesdays at noon Pacific for Hemp Radio, podcasting from hempradio.com. Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis, and the crew of Hemp Radio are all veterans of Southern California medical marijuana activism. Check our online listings for Hemp Radio with Patty Cakes and Candace Hawes from hempradio.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
All right, welcome to the Data Mines. Today, we get some information from the Granite State all the way up to New Hampshire in the great northeast of this country, where a new survey is out. And this is from, let me get the headline on this one. A new survey, where's their little footer there? Oh, drat. All right, hold on just a second. Let me make sure the pages are the right size here in the little browser. Okay, there we go. That thing zoomed up too much there. But this report is the Granite State poll sponsored by WMUR-TV, conducted by the University of New Hampshire's Survey Center. 532 randomly selected New Hampshire adults by landline and cell phone. Margin of error, 4.2%. They asked a number of questions, first of which is legalization of marijuana for recreational use. And we have now found that in the state of New Hampshire, 60% of New Hampshire voters support marijuana legalization. That's right, 60% support, 35% opposition. That 60% support translates into 45% strong support, with 15% somewhat. The strong strong opposition is 24%, 11% somewhat opposed. So strong support is 45%, strong opposition 24%. Great news for people looking to legalize marijuana
in the Granite State. Of course, support is greatest among liberals at 77%, young adults at 72%, Democrats at 67%, older folks 59% opposed, conservatives 54% opposed, and regular churchgoers 53% opposed, which is actually really good numbers coming out from those demographics in New Hampshire. Now, looking at the sales of marijuana, this is as to should marijuana be sold at licensed outlets and taxed at liquor levels. Interesting results here, far greater support. While the support for marijuana legalization generally is 60%, in New Hampshire, the support for tax and regulate like alcohol, 70% support versus 27% disapproval. Very good news for the future of marijuana legalization. We should see that in the Granite State 2018, maybe, I can imagine. Decriminalization is also on the poll. Support for marijuana decrim is sitting at 72% versus 23% opposition. And then asked about what the marijuana laws, how the marijuana should be changed, if they should be changed. 51% say they want marijuana legalized and taxed like alcohol. 22% said decriminalize marijuana. And 24% said keep the laws just the way they are now. Now, the legalize and tax has stayed at about the 50% level for as long as they've been asking this poll. And it is the support for decriminalization that's gone up and keeping the laws as they are now that's going down. So everybody is beginning to recognize in New Hampshire that the status quo is untenable. It's just now a matter of how we either decriminalize or legalize marijuana in the state of New Hampshire. Now, there's plenty of top-down information that we can get from this poll, including looking at the trends since 2013. And the strong support for marijuana legalization has risen greatly in New Hampshire. Back in February of 2013, it was sitting at just 31% strong support and has risen all the way to 45% strong support in the span of just over 2 years. I would venture to guess that the success of marijuana legalization in Washington and Colorado, or at least the lack of the sky falling in Washington and Colorado, has led to a greater strong support number in New Hampshire. They also asked about being able to sell marijuana, and that's been going back since February of 13. That's crawled up from 40% to 53% from 2013, so just the past couple of years, a great increase there. And the marijuana decriminalization is actually decreased in strong support from 49% down to 45% as more people are getting on the idea of taxing and regulating marijuana in the state of New Hampshire. And finally, the preference for marijuana laws in New Hampshire, legalize and tax, like I said, has stayed at about 49 to 52% over the past year since April of 2014. Keeping the marijuana laws as they are now has declined by 5 points from 29% down to 24%. So the people of New Hampshire look very ready. And as of all the New England states, New Hampshire is usually considered to be the most conservative of those states. It was one of the last ones to get marijuana decriminalization passed, one of the last ones to get marijuana passed for medicinal purposes. So among that region of the country, it's always been kind of falling behind. As we move to 2016, Massachusetts and Maine will probably lead the way in having marijuana legalization on the ballot. Should those two pass, I predict we would see Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut coming in very soon in the 2018 or at least by the very latest, the 2020 elections. We could have the whole New England region sewn up for marijuana legalization. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us for our cannabis Q&A. You can get your questions into our chat line. Just go to 420radio.org, click on the green live chat button. You might have to scroll down a little bit, but it's down there, the green live chat button. Click into the chat. It'll prompt you to log in, and you can use your Facebook account to connect to our 420 Radio chat. Dr. Mitch is next.
You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our weekly dose of medicine. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us by Skype from New York. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Not my most productive day, but I'm having a good one.
Oh, but you sound crystal clear. We love the Skype connection.
Stellar.
All right. Folks, if you want to get your question asked and answered, just get into our chat room at 420radio.org. And you can also hit us up via the phone line at 84-420-RADIO. That's toll free, 844-207-2346. But we begin by running down some of the latest stories, studies, and research on marijuana in the United States. And the big one that's in the news today, Dr. Mitch, I even went behind the headlines on this one. The marijuana overdose through pot edibles, a cause for concern, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. How much concern should we have?
I'm honestly disappointed that this is getting rehashed. This suicide was a year ago. Someone who I'm sorry about and I feel bad for his whole family took 6.5 doses in an hour, was clearly in a rough situation already, and ended up leaping to his death. I'm super sorry, but I just can't blame this on edibles. This is a misuse of edibles in a situation where somebody was probably already in a rough state of mind. And if you think about the base rate of suicide and the base rate of edible use, we probably would expect more than one of these by chance now, so I don't want to make too much of this.
Well, you know, I crunched the numbers on it, and there were 33 million people that used marijuana in the year 2014, estimating off the 2013 numbers, and so that represents a death rate of 0.00003%.
I would take those odds myself.
I'll take that for anything. You know, to me, it reminds me a little. If I ate a bunch of habanero peppers and my mouth was on fire and I ran to go get some water, tripped and hit my head and died, I don't know that I'd blame the habanero peppers necessarily. How much of this, I mean, people want to make this a deal of he went had a psychosis because of this. What can we make of that? Is that possible?
Well, we've actually had more suicides linked to Prozac use, but you didn't see a cause for concern quite the same magnitude. when the CDC saw that. So I'm a little apprehensive about this slant.
Yeah, I think if there's a silver lining, it's that it just took one death for everybody to say, oh, we need more education, which I think that's great. Let's always have more education. Tell people don't eat the whole cookie. Go slow. You know, go low, start slow, something like that. That's good news. As I was researching this story, though, I looked up, as my mind is wont to do, what's the equivalent stat for alcohol? And they found that like 1 in 7 deaths in Colorado had some attribution to alcohol. 30% of hospital admissions have some relation to alcohol. Where's the campaign for the need for education on alcohol, Dr. Mitch?
Well, I would love to have every six pack say, don't drink all six of these in an hour.
There we go. Let's go to our phone lines. We got a call here from the 503 code. You're on the air with Dr. Mitch. What's your question?
Hi, is there any, facts or medical tests or anything concerning cardiac patients and marijuana?
What we've seen is cannabis tends to increase heart rate, and so there was at least one case where somebody had had a heart attack within a few hours of using cannabis, and they said, well, maybe it was because cannabis created an increase in heart rate. But I want to point out that caffeine and nicotine, two favorites, also increase heart rate. So I'm curious if we got to get a good feel for if the person had happened to consume either of these. And in fact, the heart rate increases from high doses of caffeine are probably more dramatic, so I can't make too much of it. Nevertheless, if you go to your physician and say, should I never do anything that increases my heart rate? And they say, yes, I think it's unlikely, but by all means, stay away from the plant.
So an increase in heart rate would be the main problem that could arise.
Some say that there's capillary constriction associated with smoking in general. That's actually true, although not as big an issue with cannabis as it is with nicotine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Doctor. I enjoy your input.
Oh, thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Thank you for your call. We appreciate that. And the phone lines are still open at 844-420 radio. That's toll free at 844-207-2346. And we were talking about the Levi Tamba case and psychosis. There's another story I came across that said men are more likely to suffer from cannabis psychosis than women. What's behind that headline?
I mean, as you know, I don't really think cannabis is causal in psychotic breaks. We do see this one rare combination of genes and heavy use before age 15, and then you're more likely to be psychotic. And now they claim there are 9 studies, but actually they're kind of rehashings from some of the same data sets. But the other thing is, this study, I admire looking for gender differences on this kind of thing, but it's based on who was hospitalized for psychosis. And having lived in a halfway house with primarily men, but a few women who'd had psychotic breaks, I can tell you people are a lot less likely to take their female children into the hospital when they have psychotic symptoms than their aggressive and hostile male children into the hospital when they have psychotic breaks. So I'd be eager to see this replicate with a more general sample. And then we'd have to go from there. But the bottom line is, if you're hearing voices or you have an identical twin with schizophrenia, then cannabis isn't for you.
All right, let's go to our phone lines. We got a call in from the 951 area code. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hi, Dr. Mitch. I have a question that cannabis is so good for autoimmune disorders. While taking them, can it cause the disease to go into complete remission, or is it a need for a continued maintenance? I'm wondering about sometimes they theorize that some of these autoimmune disorders have a trigger.
I've only seen one case where somebody emailed me about their MS and claimed that they were symptom free, but I think they were still on cannabis itself. So it was as if the cannabis itself was helping the symptoms. I haven't heard of any spontaneous remission associated with cannabis therapy in that or with rheumatoid arthritis. I can't think of anywhere it was a complete cure.
All right. Thanks for your question. Appreciate that. And the phone line still open, 84-420 radio. While we wait for other calls, we have another study that was interesting. A study that said medical marijuana poses a risk to teens, supposedly something about teenagers who acquired from medical marijuana versus acquiring it from the street had a more likelihood of addiction. This was the strangest thing I had ever read. What's up with this, Dr. Mitch?
Well, I mean, I hate to rain on the parade here, but what a surprise. If you're already addicted to cannabis, you may be more motivated to go get a medical card. I don't really have any more complicated mechanisms than that. And I'm sorry to see this because it was also linked to some other problem behaviors like prescription drug abuse and binge drinking. And it just sounds like this is a subset of folks who, you know, definitely need an intervention, but I don't think that medical marijuana laws suddenly created these outrageous cases of addiction.
Just created a point of access, and people who had problems in the first place, given more access, that's where they go.
What a surprise.
Wow. All right. So let's get this other study, because this one raised some eyebrows. Researchers in Israel finding out that CBD can help heal broken bones. This could even be used maybe in the future for something like osteoporosis, I'd imagine.
I was blown away by this. So this was not necessarily along the osteoporosis lines, but more the knitting of the bones that had been set. And it's, you know, a small thing, and we haven't moved to the large human trials yet, but this is super promising and says something more about some of the CB2 type receptors and cannabidiol in general and healing in general. So I hurt my shoulder playing drums, and I think I need to go find myself a CBD strain.
And, you know, when I was reading about this study, one of the things that stood out to me is how they took these rats with broken femoral bones, the long bone in the leg, and then they did all the X, Y, and Z, whatever they did to it. And I thought, well, where do you get a large group of rats with broken leg bones? And I could only imagine a poor research assistant whose job it is to snap little rat bones. Is that how that's done?
I'm afraid there's a machine that does it, and it's super gruesome and would, you know, make animal rights people pull their hair out. It's pretty upsetting when you really think about it.
Oh man, that's amazing. All right, and one last study we've got some time here for: marijuana being used to help treat opioid addiction, something that we've, you know, had anecdotal reports of through surveys at Berkeley Patients Group and other places. But what's the latest science on this?
So my friend Mary Haney and that whole crew down at Columbia, my hat's off to them. I wouldn't have had the balls to even propose funding for this. I mean, this is amazing. So they literally had opiate addicts, and they gave them, you know, Marinol. They gave them edible THC in pill form, because that's, you know, if you're going to do a federally funded thing, that's pretty much what you have to do. And what a surprise, those guys had an easier time in withdrawal, and then were much more likely to stay in treatment, which, you know, if you have an easier time with withdrawal, of course you will. And I really hope this gets to be treatment as usual, because anything that can make that opiate withdrawal a little easier and keep folks in that inpatient program is bound to help a long way. And I prefer this to sort of using one opiate on top of an opiate. That whole let's do methadone, I mean, it seems to work, but it's like, let me get off that opiate receptor and maybe make things easier through another neurotransmitter system. I'm really optimistic about this, and I hope it replicates and gets to become a standard treatment.
I hope so too. You know, Dr. Mitch, I see this kind of a trend lately on pharmaceutical advertising for drugs to help you with the problem you've got from the other drug you're taking. It's like, if Damitol doesn't work for you, try prescription Fuckitol. I mean, it's like, my God, how many drugs are we going to throw at the problem here? So let's hope that helps. Folks, if you want to get your question answered by Dr. Mitch in a private forum, you can always send him an email. It's 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch, I know, are you coming into town for the normal board meeting in September?
I will be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the best of Portland.
All right. We'll get you lost in Powell's House of Books and take you out for a voodoo donut, as we do everyone who comes to Portland. And too bad it's not a month later. We might have been able to take you to a dispensary.
Oh, hey, well, I'm sure we'll get out there again if we have a good time.
The world famous Cannabis Cafe will be open. We'll at least be able to hit that up.
I'm hoping to have the meeting there.
There we go. The best of all worlds. Thanks, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, stay tuned. We got guests in the studio. Alex Rogers is here to tell us about the upcoming Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, and he brought along another guy, some marijuana legalizer from Oregon. We'll get to him too. Anthony Johnson's in the studio. We'll be right back after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Somebody has to say something.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
There you go.
And this is Rick Cusick, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everybody, and we welcome back into the studio Alex Rogers from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference and the International Cannabis Business Conference. And you got another one? Is there just two now?
Just two conferences.
Just two conferences so far. All right, great. And we got Anthony Johnson in here as well. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having us in, Russ.
Oh, this is a good time. All right, so let's get the business out of the way. The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, which I had a gig pre-scheduled for, and that gig canceled, so now I'm in.
You're in.
I'm in. So scoot up a bit and tell folks when it is and what's happening.
It's first of all, thanks for having us on, Russ. It's always awesome to be here. It's September 12th, 13th at the downtown Portland Hilton, Saturday, Sunday, and it's going to be the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, and, wow. And we just think when we first started doing this, it was, it was almost a novel idea,
yeah,
and it was only a couple years ago, which is so funny how rapidly things have changed. In the cannabis industry and with cannabis politics in Oregon especially. And so here we are with the fourth. They've always been successful, and now here we are with the fourth one at the Hilton here downtown Portland, and the timing really couldn't be better. And our curriculum is really tailored too. It's probably the grittiest curriculum we've ever had because there's so much information that needs to be covered.
Here it is. It's like 28 pages I typed up of like what we need to know that's new in the law. Right. And if I came up with 28 pages, I know the experts you got are going to have much more to cover.
Right. I mean, in one way, we have only one track at the OMMBC. So we have to look at all that plethora of information and then not only funnel it down, but then we need to choose the best, funnel it down, categorize it, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay. And we need to deem what's the most pertinent stuff that people need to know. What do people have to know about the law? What is so important that, you know, if you don't know this, you're going to be behind the game. And some of that's business stuff, and a lot of it's political stuff too. And of course, they're both interrelated.
Yeah.
So that's what we're. So with all that thing, with all that information, we have the one track. It's so important that who we pick also, and that person. And so we've picked some of the best, the top industry folks in Oregon, and a few from California also that we think should come in. And we have a woman on cannabis and women in cannabis program. And so we have Dale Sky Jones and Debbie Goldsberry flying in, who are the two top female doctors. Maybe.
There you go. Yeah, judges agree.
Exactly. Ever of all time, almost. So. But then we have them along doing panels alongside some of the rising stars, female stars in the cannabis industry in Oregon, also. So you know, but basically, it's the grittiest conference we've ever had. In that, we're going to tell people what's happened with medical, what's going on, what can we expect with rec rules and regs. And then how those two interchange and cross over, because it's convoluted even for the experts.
Well, yeah, this will be happening. You said September 14th,
12th and 13th.
12th and 13th. So middle of September. Now Anthony Johnson's here. He's with New Approach Oregon. He was instrumental in the Measure 91 campaign, and there was all these bills that passed at the end that got signed to change, you know, what we had voted on in Measure 91, and actually a lot of great surprises in there, like better than what we had anticipated. But that one, that 460, the one for October 1 sales, it's still not signed yet, is it?
It has not been signed.
Okay.
My sources close to the situation for the longest time have expected that Governor Kate Brown will let Senate Bill 460 go into law without her signature, which uh-huh. would happen after 30 days. And I had gotten word last Friday that there's signs showing that she may indeed sign it.
Oh, okay.
It really doesn't matter whether she signs it or not. I mean, I think it would be better if she would sign it and people could stop worrying about whether it's going to happen or not and can start planning. The Oregon Health Authority can start getting to work on the rules to make it done, you know, to make it happen on October 1st. But whether she signs it or not, it's likely to happen on October 1st. If she was going to veto it, all my sources say she would have let the Democratic leadership know she was going to veto it out of courtesy. It would just be really like rude and like a slap in their face to veto it at this point. So we can expect it to become law. Hopefully she'll sign it. So we'll have the latest information on that as October 1st comes online. The Oregon Rules Advisory Committee for the OLCC come with the rules for the rec system. Those rules have to be finalized by November 1st. So by the middle of September, we'll have a great idea on the vast majority of the rules that are going to be in place. So with the medical rules, the rec rules, with Congressman Earl Blumenauer being there for the latest in federal law changes mm-hmm. and reforms, it's really a great time and a great moment to come to the conference, network, learn about the latest in the business, and to also learn how you can best be involved to protect Oregon's marijuana laws. And that's really, I think, the thing that separates the OMMBC from other conferences is that at our core, we're advocates, and we feature longtime advocates like Attorney Leland Berger and Paul Loney. These are not fly-by-the-night cannabis attorneys and lobbyists who are only around when there's money to be made. These are people who were fighting for this 30 years ago, working to put themselves out of business, and now they're the more knowledgeable than anybody. And I think it's great that we really combine activism with the business structure. And like Alex said, this is our grittiest kind of business. So you want to be a wholesaler, retailer, processor, producer, all of the above. You want to be medical, you want to be rec, you want to do both. We're going to have all that for you, but we're also going to say, and give opinions and let people know how you can be involved, how you can stay involved to not only protect what's good for business. We are business people and entrepreneurs, but we strike a balance between business and what's best for patients and consumers and all around. And so I think it's the best conference as far as marijuana conferences go when you want to get involved in business. And it's something that I'm really proud of. And I think people gain a lot from it.
Yeah, I think so too. OMMBC, is it .com that they yep. can find that? OMMBC.com, you can find out, you can register. You usually do like an early bird price. Is that too late for that? Or is
yeah,
that
no, early bird's going to go on for the next few weeks. It's $2.99 right now, and it's a two-day event, and that also comes with our big parties at night also, where we mix it up a little bit.
I remember half of them. But it's always a good time, and folks, when you're talking about these conferences, sometimes people will see a price on that, and they'll go, oh my God. But here's the thing. It's like what you get in the sit-down panels, the information you're getting, not only is that worth the money, but then these networking opportunities, they're priceless. I can't tell you. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if not for networking and meeting people. And this is where the big thing's happening. And you're right now at the very beginning of this wave, of this Green Rush wave happening in Oregon. This would be the time to go to the OMMBC. We're going to do it.
We're gonna do it. Yeah, no, it's an exciting time to be in Oregon right now, and the OMMBC just always kind of encapsulate the vibe of what's happening currently in Oregon. So we're looking forward to this. There's a good chance the event's going to sell out. We actually have limited capacity at the Hilton because we picked the speaker room that we thought was actually the most beautiful. It has windows, and it's just a great. Space. So we're limited to about 750 people at this conference. So we're pretty much guaranteed to sell out. So do encourage people to definitely get your ticket before it could be sold out as early as the first week in September.
Wow. And we're speaking with Alex Rogers, who's the head of the OMMBC and the International CBC, these conferences he's been putting on now. Fourth annual now. This is amazing. Anthony Johnson's here from New Approach Oregon. And I know at the previous conferences, you've always had great keynote speakers. Andrew Sullivan said one of your conferences was the best conference ever, I think was his quote. You mentioned Congressman Blumenauer. Any other luminaries we should let people know are going to be there?
Anthony?
Judge James Gray.
Oh!
Coming in from California. Yeah. You know, it was great to bring in Judge Gray to cannabis law reform activism, a longtime judge in California who's written books. He was the vice presidential candidate on the Libertarian ticket with Gary Johnson. And now he's an entrepreneur as a board member to for Cannabis Indica, Cannabis Sativa Incorporated. So Judge Gray's delivering the keynote the first day, Earl Blumenauer the second day. And then for the most part, you know, we have brought in people from California, but it's a very much Oregon medical marijuana and recreational marijuana focused. To back up your point about the price, another thing about the price, if you wanted to hire an attorney and ask them questions, I mean, attorneys charge these days, you know, $300 an hour. Mm-hmm. And to have Lee Berger, Paul Loney, and we're bringing in Wykowski from California.
Oh, great.
You know, the top tax expert, Henry Wykowski, the top tax expert in the country. His cases have determined what can be deducted under federal IRS law. And so he's at the forefront of that. And to be able to ask questions of him for $2.99 is really invaluable and really worth the money. And like you said, the networking opportunities, so much. You can be the smartest person in the world, the greatest person in the world, but nobody knows about you. It's hard to make it in this business world, and the market's saturated, so a lot of it's who you know. So we have a good time, but we do provide the great, really great information, and it's really focused to succeed, to help people succeed in this Oregon market.
We're looking forward to it. Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, OMMBC.com, September 14th and 15th.
12th and 13th.
12th and 13th. Who's 14th and 15th? I keep thinking, oh, it's Seattle Hemp Fest is 14th, 15th. That's been on my mind lately. Sorry about that. 12th and 13th. Got it?
That's right.
Of September. OMMBC.com. Alex Rogers and Anthony Johnson here in the studio. And we're coming up on the end of the hour, but I had some questions about the licensing. I said, can you stay for a seg?
I can stay.
Okay, just about 5 minutes in the next hour there. But before we go, Alex, if people want to get in touch with you, is there like Facebooks and other things we should tell them about?
Yeah, you just go to the OMMBC website, OMMBC.com, and then just you can hit us right up on our website. And we respond generally within about 24 hours to anybody hitting us up. So we still have about five exhibitor booths left. So if anyone's interested in exhibiting, those will be gone definitely in a couple weeks. Otherwise, just hit us up at the website. Have any questions, we'll get back to you.
All right, ommbc.com, and I'll see you there. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.